Okay, welcome everyone. I will officially call to order the Town of Hugh Select Board meeting. It is 5:01 PM and today is Tuesday, January 14th, 2025. So, the meeting is being audio recorded and the first item is reviewing the agenda. Folks at home, there's only two of us here, myself and Will. Helma's not here either. We have Nancy taking notes. And on the agenda, we're gonna do the CAF II fund certification vote. We'll talk about the new kiosks and we'll review the information received from National Grid, which came just recently. And we do not have anything for Hilltown Youth sent to us at this point. So that's gonna be a limited conversation. And the actual meeting, which was scheduled for the 21st, needs to be rescheduled due to Jonathan not being able to attend. So we're gonna have to put that on the beginning of February because we won't be meeting the following week. So we'll leave that to Helma to get a new date and notify us. And I think that's it for other business that we're gonna go over. I don't really think of anything. We got a little bit of mail that we'll review and that's it. Good?
Good.
All right. Do you have the, you saw the response from National Grid?
I did.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yep.
Okay, so first on the agenda is the CAF II fund certification. That document is in your Part 1 mail. Did you see that?
I did.
Okay. So this is, let me pull it up, please. So this is basically the certification that the select board needs to sign that says that the CAF II funds that we received, which totaled the $169,258, that those were used for their for broadband purposes. So standard form, Sheila sent that along. Like I said, it's in the, you have a copy of that for us to sign tonight, Nancy,
yes.
At the end? Okay. And there's a note there from her. So I need a motion, please, to sign the certification to Westfield Gas and Electric dated January 14, 2025.
I will make that motion.
And I'll second it. Is there any further discussion? Any questions?
No.
All in favor?
Will, I.
Rob and I. So we can sign that at the end and Helma can take that from there. And then the next item is approval for placement of new kiosks. And it says Pat McGann, who happens to be here. Pat!
Well, Parks and Rec has a $25,000 grant and would like to use it, well, specifically to place kiosks in town about hiking trails and conservation land. So they'd like approval to place one in the center of town, one at Jacobs Road, and I'm not sure what has to happen outside H.O. Cook Forest, whether that's up to Tyson, the highway department. It won't be inside the forest, it would be somewhere on that dead end road going into the forest. And in the mail I sent a picture of the one at Fern Hill, so that's what they'll look like.
So do you see those? They're in mail part one?
Yes.
Okay. So this says approval to place kiosk at here, one in the center. And is there another one that you said that's not in this list?
It's not in the list because it's, according, Helma said it didn't require select board approval, that if we had to just talk to Tyson.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay.
Okay. Right. But I thought I'd mention it just in case.
Yeah, no, great. Thank you. Perfect. Okay, so the cost of these won't exceed the grant?
No.
Okay.
And there may be a little left over to mount some bike pumps on the ones that, you know, all three of them, hopefully.
And it looks like you're gonna work with Tim and Helma on the location at the each spot.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you have for questions, Will? Anything?
At this point, no. I mean, I saw the
So the illustration was like, looks perfectly attractive, it's not like a neon sign or, double M's or something like that.
Well, we were thinking of green and orange, but we didn't.
Which is wood, regular wood, brown. Okay.
I guess the only question I have is where the Jacobs Road would be placed, is it?
I don't know, it might make sense to place it down at the end of the street, it might make sense to place it next to the other one, but we're gonna talk with Tim and Helma to see, unless you guys have a suggestion.
Yeah.
No, I was just curious.
And if we put it down by the street, that would be a Tyson question.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we just wanna make sure it doesn't block any travel vision or anything like that, well, in the center of town too, I don't know where in the center, but.
Yeah, we have to look at maybe by the basketball court.
Basketball, yeah.
Between the community hall and the basketball court maybe.
The recreation area, yeah.
But we'll, where Tim and Helma think, let them think about it.
That's good. All right, so can I have a motion to approve the placement of a kiosk, as shown in our one at Jacobs Road and one in the center, that will look like the one on Flag Hill Road, 3x6, per Parks and Rec.
I will make such a motion.
And I'll second it. Further discussion or questions? All in favor?
Will, aye.
Rob, an aye. Check, check.
Yeah, I could have just put that in with a stamp.
I know. All right, next is National Grid poll hearing information. So, Will, we have.
Let's see.
We have a response from National Grid.
Was that mailed one or two? I saw it earlier, but that was like a day ago.
I don't think it got in the, is it actually in the mail? Because it was sent separately. I sent it to you. I think she might have sent. Mail part one is, so mail part one was all of what we just did, it's CAF 2 and Parks and Rec. And mail part two. Mail part two, no, it's not in there, so it's just the separate email that was sent.
Because I know I read it, okay, let me, I'll just give them a mail then, that's not a problem, I'll just pull that up.
It was.
Okay, yeah, I've got it.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, in the letter, we have the outage information that folks, some folks were interested in receiving. So they've added that from 2019 to 2023. And that's for review. And they talked a little bit about the fact that the ranking of the distribution feeders, this one in particular for liability, bottom 5% for liability in 19, 22, and 23. Talked about causation of outages. And that was the first section of the letter. The second section of the letter is the four different options that we asked them to review. So we've got the option one, Burlington Road as proposed, option two, Avery Brook Road, option three, Route 8A, option four, Burlington Road Underground. So that's all for your information to read through. And then the last is basically a statement response to the question about National Grid bearing the cost of the relocation of the MLP assets to the new poles. So those are the three responses that we got. And so far, I have a list of questions from Sheila. And I don't know, I see Ned's here.
Yeah.
I know you guys, were you here to meet today?
We did, but it didn't relate to
this. You didn't talk about this at all. So I have a list of questions that Sheila sent me specific to the last portion about the relocation of the assets onto the new poles.
Right.
So I'm gonna take those, well, I already have, I've set up a response that I'll send out first thing tomorrow morning with our responses or questions back to this, if you have any. So I've included those, like I said, are specific to the statements that National Grid made about the payment or lack thereof. And then I have a couple questions that I'm adding, and then I wanted to know, well, tonight I was gonna say, Lisa, what questions do you have that you'd like me to attach? But I don't get those. I'll have to try to get that through email. And then, Will, do you have questions you'd like me to put into my note that I'm gonna send out in the morning?
I've got a couple of comments.
And then I'll go to you, Ned, okay?
It's more comments with any of these different options.
Okay, feel free, let them fly.
Well, the difference, I mean, looking at the Burrington Road versus Avery Brook Road, I mean, something in here about it's an extra $71,000 to go up.
Yep.
Okay, that does not strike me as a lot of money.
No, me neither.
So I'm sort of wondering what the big deal is. And also, the thing is about the schedule delays. If they're not being pressed by DPUC to make this project happen, why do they care about when it's done?
Right.
You know, that's one of the arguments they give for going up Burrington versus Avery Brook. So those are the sort of two things that stuck out right away.
So just to continue that conversation a little bit, one of the questions I've asked, and we have this information from our own in-house, well, on some level we have it from our own in-house folks, but I am going to ask them to specifically give us the number of poles affected on the Avery Brook versus the Burrington routes per option, how many poles are affected. Mm-hmm. And because that would transfer into a cost for the town depending on how many number of poles are affected by transfer of the assets from one direction to the other.
That's a very good point.
So that's going to be one of the questions that I ask, because that is a specific cost that in essence they're saying we're going to have to take. So that is going to lead, and I mean pretty much I was in the same direction as you with these thoughts. So I mean, I think that's worth a talk when we're here on Thursday.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Most definitely.
Okay. Did you have other thoughts between the different options that you wanted, any questions or clarifications that you needed? I think they've answered.
I'm not sure I agree with their numbers and the bearing of the line. It's $355,000 to do that. I mean, I'm hearing all different kinds of numbers
as
to what it costs. So, where do they come up with that?
I think that that's a question that you can ask that on Thursday.
Right. I mean, let's see some paperwork here.
Right. Okay. Questions, I think that the first section about the outages, do you have any follow-up questions you want to ask them about that? I mean, it's information.
It doesn't strike me as being, a terrible situation either way you look at it. I mean, it's not earth-shattering. It's kind of like Devin pointed out, Devin Clark, that, you lose power for a little while. It's not, these aren't days and days and days and weeks. There's nothing here that really stuck out as being a huge problem, looking at these outages. That was my impression anyway. Maybe I should take a look at it again, but.
Right.
Because I did rather quickly yesterday. I took a look.
And then, do you have any questions on that third part about the transfer, the cost of the transfer, anything you want me to add? I mean, Sheila's pretty much asking for clarification for us on basically everything that they said in here.
Yep.
And I did send you also the agreement.
Yes,
you got
I saw
the
that.
Agreement.
Yes.
Okay.
And they're leaning on that as justification.
So, yeah.
I'm kind of
Right, I mean, the agreement is there, so.
Right, that's the problem.
Yeah. Okay, Ned, I know you're gonna.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're claiming, I think, that the agreement committed Keith to paying that cost, but the agreement concerned the building of broadband. Keith committed to paying what needed to build out broadband, and that was accomplished. This new three-phase power or something, new poles, does nothing to further the building of broadband.
Correct, and that's what I, that's what Sheila sent as a note.
Yeah.
And so that's in my letter that I'm gonna send back. When I send this tomorrow for clarification on these things or further questioning on them, I'll copy everyone so that you get the answers. Did you have other things, Ned, that you think from the light board that you think?
I do agree, Will has pointed out, that $71,000 more is not a lot concerning.
Right.
Considering what the resources are and.
Right. All right, Barbara.
Could you briefly share with us what, in the outage information that they sent you, whether there was much of a difference in the early years versus the.
Would you like to look at
it? I would love to. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. More than welcome to. Because if I just read them all, there's a lot of numbers there, so.
Yep, nope, I appreciate it.
Yep. Okay, so no other questions, clarifications? I mean, I think at this point, it's really having just the continuation of the conversation. Mm-hmm. Now that they've presented the information, asking for the clarifications that Sheila, you'll see it because I'm sending it to you, that she's asking, which is basically what Ned just mentioned anyways, about the purpose behind the agreement, the aerial agreement that we have with them, you know, what it's referencing. Yes, we agree that we'd be responsible for the building of the broadband, but that's not what this is.
So this is like beyond the scope of what that originally was all
the
about.
The intent, right. It's like another step that was not presented at the time of the conversation of the agreement.
Precisely.
So we can continue that conversation and listen to folks again. The hearing will be open, so people have the opportunity to speak and they can answer, and then we'll have to make a decision based on what we hear and what how we feel our questions have been answered, whether we have a vote, we close the hearing and have a vote, or whether there's something that comes up that extends it again. That's it. Anybody else have any questions from the visitors?
I have a question about the movement of the broadband. Does that cost the individual taxpayers or just the customers of Whip City to pay for that? Like, how is that allocated? I'm a little confused by where the money comes from to pay for that.
That's paid for by everyone, basically, because it comes out of Wired West, which decreases any costs that go to Wired West, decrease their profits, their overall profits, of which are then returned to the town. Mm-hmm. In the form of offsetting costs for the broadband system service, number mm-hmm. one, mm-hmm. and then any other monies that the municipal light plant sent to the town. So it costs everyone in the fact that it affects the money that comes to the town at the end, whether it's money that comes to maintain the broadband service, or it's the money that broadband sends to the town to repay debt or whatever else. So in essence,
the monthly fee goes up to cover the 30 that you pay to them.
The monthly fee gets determined by the broadband, the municipal light board. They make a decision what that fee should be based on many things.
Right.
But the monies that come back that, you know, know, they come back and they go into the coffers for the town.
Mm-hmm.
If less monies come back, then it affects the taxpayer and
right.
at the bottom line of just
okay.
the entire cost to the town,
oh,
right?
Okay.
To be in the town.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's like a direct route for which it costs everybody.
Right, right.
Broadband, when they see their profit, when Heath gets their profits, they have so much that goes into depreciation. They have to put money, they set money aside for, and Ned can maybe answer this a little bit better, but they set monies aside for the running of their, like the depreciation, all that type of thing, right? Replacement costs down the road. They have a replacement
mm-hmm.
schedule. And then monies are released back to the town to offset the cost of anything, pay back the debt. Right now we're still paying back the debt.
This just would add to it. Yeah.
The more it costs the Wired West, you know, more it costs each town in Wired West, the less money there is to put back to all the towns for profits.
Right.
Less profit.
So one thing just to, one thing just to mention too about how they always refer to their scheduling and, you know, why they're doing this or that. You know, when they visited us back in May, I think it was, or June, you know, I really emphasized to please look at, you know, also Avery Brook Road, going up that road to just do a comparison of how much more it would be and stuff. And they just wouldn't. That just wasn't an option.
Well, now they have.
Exactly.
Now they
yeah.
have.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I think on one hand, a lot, most of what was asked, they've given a lot of information.
Yeah,
they did
agree.
Come back with a lot
yeah.
of information.
Yeah,
there's a lot of
good.
Talking points.
Yeah.
And we're going to have continue the conversation. I think that the first public hearing went very well.
Yeah.
I think that everybody was respectful. I think that people listened to each other. I think that everyone had opportunity to talk. I think that the folks that were here from National Grid, it's a tough position to be in. They're not the end-all
yeah.
people
yeah.
that can answer.
Yeah.
They did what they could do. They listened. They answered. We talked a lot about things that really aren't within scope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were allowed that kind of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully Thursday is as good of a meeting as it can be. And
mm-hmm.
And we'll see at the end whether there's an actual vote or not. And then, Charlemont still has to do theirs.
Oh,
they
yeah,
haven't
they have
even,
a problem.
Right?
Yeah,
Charlemont
they have a big problem. Yeah.
Has not, I mean, this all, we could say yes, and if you can't,
yeah.
you can't get there, it means
get
nothing.
Right.
It seems like it's the
kind of
horse before the cart type of thing. And
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know, cart before the horse. So it just happens that's the dates.
So one thing, too, I just wanted to mention is that I know Tyson was worried about where they were going to put the pole in the ditch. Like,
yeah.
the stake is there, and I'm not sure. I looked on the pole plan. It looks like that's where they plan to actually put the... But I don't know if that's true or not. I read the fine print, and they said they have the right to, you know, move it if they need to. So I know he wants to stay 4 feet away from the edge of the pavement, which is understandable, because
yeah.
we understand the drainage... you know, problem there. And so if that happens, it's going to go up our embankment, probably a good 5 feet, 4 to 5 feet. So what my concern is the pictures you see of the power lines going through our view, it's going to go up another 4 to 5 feet. I mean, it's horrible as it is, but that just makes it even more. So I just wanted to make that clear.
I mean, I think that, the select board's going to have to be, you know, if it does come to a vote, I mean, there's many options that this takes. And whatever, if it does come to a vote, any vote could have lots of layers of, yes, we're voting on this, with all of these pieces and parts that fit into
mm-hmm.
that, you know? And we're going to have to be really, really clear about that, about what you...
So,
each of us want.
So is it possible to have basically conditional votes?
Yes.
You're saying you have,
yes.
You can do this,
yes.
but this, this, this,
yes.
or, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think when I first met with them, you know, I didn't only spoke just for me. I spoke for the whole road into the center of town to them. I said, you know, this is probably one of the most scenic drives in West County. It's beautiful going through Arts Farm and down South Road into the center of town. And I said to them, we have a historic district in an area of really, you know, very nice antique homes that I feel like should be protected as well. So, you know, I'm not only speaking on my behalf, I'm speaking how I feel about the whole road from right into the center. And it would make a, you know, a drastic change, you know, to it. So a lot of people walk that loop. Mm-hmm. And so. Yep.
Could I add something?
Yeah, of course you can.
At the chair.
No, you can't.
Okay. I'll go sit in the chair.
I had to say that.
At the chairman meeting, my Dola was there and spoke about these outages. Some of these are due from the power company. This line that supplies now is coming out of Four Station. It should be coming out of Four Station Yard. It's not. So these recorded outages are at the power company, not being failure out in the field. This is at the source. Mm-hmm. He just added, he was directing this to National Grid to redirect that line at the starting point, if you will, to go into the switch yard, would reduce these outages.
Outages.
It would improve, it's behind Hillman's, the Hillman's excavating yard.
Yeah.
But this line is very rare that's coming out of Forest Station. And it, if it came out of the switch yard, it would have less faults.
Yeah.
Just a little plug about these numbers that include the power not being in a line, not from a tree coming down, or the rural distribution line that's labeled it is.
It does seem to me that the trimming of the trees has made a big difference, because John and I, we used to use power a lot.
I totally believe that tree care, as challenging as it is, and I will say that it's very challenging because I just, even in front of my own house, I just went through, I had trees taken down, and I kicked and screamed through the whole thing, and but it does make a proper tree care over time makes a difference for a lot of things, including our roads.
Yeah.
I mean, our roads at times, the issues that we face on certain roads in certain locations is really due, one of the pieces of that is not having sun that gets to those roads.
Yeah.
And it's just a fine balance between, you know, taking care of the lines, the poles, the roads, and the trees, and the, you know, the beautiful owls that I see that are in the tree. I mean, there's so many pieces and parts that go together that it's, sometimes it's hard, but all pieces, everything needs to be looked at in totality to really have a, to really make a good effect for the town.
Yeah.
And the pocketbook. I mean, we are going to have challenges financially, where we've got number of issues that we have to really look at as time goes on. And
whatever extra pieces and parts. Right, and every extra expense that they incur is shared with all their customers in Massachusetts. And so when you look.
Correct.
It's 1.2 million people. So it's like pennies, okay?
Right.
So they always talk about the customer. And so when I look at the map of Massachusetts, and I don't know if you ever looked at that before, it's very interesting, but there's very few towns that National Grid service out here. It's mostly Eversource.
Right.
So with all the, towns and cities that they service in the mid part of the state, into Boston, wherever that is, I'm sure we on our electric bill have contributed a tremendous amount to that area. So to ask for them to do something extra here to preserve what we have, they should do. That's how I feel about it. It's like, because we have problems with our power is not our fault, which I don't think we really do. It doesn't seem like we do as bad now, but you know, where have you been for 10 or 15 years, you know? So, you know, that's my point too. It's like, yeah, it costs the customer maybe, you know, a penny or two more a month or whatever, calculate, but look at how much money. And probably not. I've done, yeah, I've kind of done the math. So it's like, their estimates are gonna be huge. They're just gonna do that. And so that's just, you know, when you really think about how it works and everything, it's like, if they need to bury it in the historic district, then so be it, you know? It's like,
Does the town have to pay for the tree trimming?
No, it's part of the project.
Okay, excuse me, I didn't know if that was a separate.
So that's actually a benefit, right? That's a plus for the town. And I think since I can remember, I believe National Grid does a good job at coming through and taking care of trees not all the time, not like every year, you know, whatever, but when they do come through, as much of a challenge as it is, as much as we hate having trees down, and we hate all that piece of it, it is something that they do work on, and I think they do a decent job.
Yeah, I think more so now than before.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it pays off.
I was laughing the other day because, you know, we installed a full house generator.
We did too.
Back in 2001 or something, and I was doing my annual service, and total hours, including testing that thing has been on, was 49 hours over 5 years.
Wow.
And, you know, we're up at number 9 road. I mean,
right.
It's
right.
Way up in the frozen north.
Right.
So the reliability has really gone way up.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with you, because I would joke with them, we it's expensive to put in a whole house generator. Once we put it in, it's like, we don't lose power.
Right.
Go figure.
Well, if you read,
it might blip a little bit here and there.
If you're 49 hours, you probably have 20 minutes every second Sunday or whatever.
Yeah.
And testing, right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. 12 hours. Yeah.
Well, if you read that, the paragraph after that, it very clearly says a large percentage of that in the past has been vegetation issues.
Right.
75%. Says approximately 75% of outage cases were related to vegetation, for example, trees falling, broken limbs, and tree growth. The remaining 25% were split between various non-vegetation related causes, lightning, device failure, vehicle, and unknown. The situation that you're mentioning is not here, unless they're considering that device failure.
Device failure.
Yeah.
But that represents roughly those things combined, 25% of the outages.
And you're still going to get outages.
Of course you are.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that number, so my brother said, that number doesn't change.
I'm amazed. I don't know if there were, just in this last week, a week ago, when we had those multiple days of winds
the
that
wind.
Just never stopped.
Nope. Not even a flicker.
Never stopped. The wind just wouldn't.
But no flicker.
I was like, every time I felt my house was going to blow away, but the power was on, I'm like, wow.
And these trees are frozen and they're brittle.
Yes. But that does show they do what they do is working to some extent.
It makes wonder if we're in the bottom 5%, what's the top
5%?
It's like, no failure?
No. All right, so that's where we're at. You can keep that if you want. I printed it out from.
I'm sure David would like to see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I think I asked Elisa to send it out, so I think he has it.
Oh, okay.
But go ahead and take it.
Thank you.
Just in case, yeah, so you have a printed copy.
It does look as though the trend for outages of any kind has been much less in recent years.
Yes.
Like since our broadband went in and all that work
was
done.
A lot of work has actually been done in
tree
work.
And that's what I was wondering about because, you know, it's one thing when you say, well, we're looking at this, whatever, 5-6 year period and you're in the, yes, but what about the recent years after all the tree work was
done? And National Grid had two projects of coming through and doing a lot of trimming. Two within the last, they just did one, and then the other one wasn't that long.
And a lot was done when broadband was
right. So
sunk.
There's been a lot of work by folks on the road.
Right.
it does make a difference. It has to. If you trim out what's gonna fall and take out the wires.
So if they looked at just those recent, for instance, 2 years, I'm wondering where we would fall in reliability. There might be a very different, as compared to, you know, when
right.
they say.
Well, you've got 20, well, they claim 22 and 23 were in the bottom 5%.
Is that what they said it was?
I think that's the first, is that the first? Oh, no, where did I see that? It's in there somewhere, Barbara, I don't remember. There's a sentence that says that we fell in the worst 5% in 19, 22, and 23?
Yes, 19, 22, and 23, yeah.
So that's interesting to me. I don't know.
What if it's based on population? I don't get how they,
all questions that should be asked if people, these are the things we can ask on Thursday.
There's not much tree trimming with underground service.
No.
That's what should be.
Just roots.
Just
now, those are getting cut when they dig the trench.
Yeah. Do you ever look at Green Mountain Power and see their new equipment and what they have? They buried 50 miles of it. It's really fascinating. You would probably appreciate it. They have this thing now that digs the trench and lays the pipe automatically. Really? It's this, they have a video, go on their website. They are amazing of what they're doing up there. And they've had the worst 2 years of climate, and it's been hugely successful, and the linemen are not getting hurt. I mean, it costs more up front, but it saves you in the long run. And I think that's really what we should be doing in Massachusetts. I mean, a lot of these poles and wires will eventually be obsolete.
Right.
So, but.
Good?
Yeah.
All right.
Ready for prime time.
So, Thursday at 6 p.m., right?
Yep.
For anyone who wants to join.
Be there or be square.
That's right. See what we do. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for answering
that
question.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
And like I said, I'll send the notes, so I'll send the questions out. I think the number of polls affected on both roads is a key piece of it.
I think Bill Font said it was 50% less.
That's what I said. We have it from our in-house, but we don't have actual
plans. Some of them,
so we
that was a mission.
Yeah. They know exactly what the number is, so they can share it with us.
I was going down.
They might not want to, but they can. All right, thank you. See you guys
thank
later.
Thank you, folks.
We'll see you on Thursday, I'm sure.
Well.
Okay, so next on our list is Hilltown Youth, and we were going to review notes from them on their return comments on our license, but we don't have those.
No.
And we were going to meet on the 21st, which is next week, and we're going to not meet because Jonathan has an issue. So we'll ask Hilma to set up the new meeting, like I said earlier, and to make certain that we have a meeting prior to review the responses before that meeting.
Sure.
So at this point, if we're gonna do it the first week of February, they'd have to have their information to us for review for next week, because that'll be the only time that we meet. Unless you folks wanna meet without me and do it, which is fine. And I wanted to continue conversation when the three of us are here about the thought about the request for lease, the RFP for this, sending out a request for a lease proposal for the space. So we'll table that conversation until when Elise is here, so because I know she wants to be part of that.
Of course.
And Nancy did mention that Hilma left word that the gentleman who was giving us our quote for the appraisals. He did come to visit the buildings. So that has just recently
Kitchell
happened.
Was the name Kitchell, I just looked at it.
He came this week?
Today.
Oh, today. So we don't have feedback yet, but obviously. So that did happen. So that's another step in the process. So that's good. And And that's pretty much all we can talk about tonight, unless you have thoughts, questions, or anything that you would like to discuss?
I do not.
All right. So we're gonna have to, we'll move that till next week to get into a little more conversation. And that's what we got. I don't have anything else for other business. Mail. So mail part one, like I said, we've already reviewed all that. And mail part two. Okay. So we had a nice, the first one is a nice email from a resident. Thank you for gym access and pickleball. Pickleball must be moving along. Thumbs up. Good. Okay. And then another resident was concerned about the damage to the gym floor, which we're working on, making sure folks know not to be dragging things on the gym floor. We're going to have further conversation with that with Hilltown when we get them here. The third one is free cash approval, which we are going to discuss next week. Are you guys coming next? Is it next week? Is that the day you're coming to meet with us, Finance Committee?
Yes, yeah. It is.
So we're going to discuss free cash at next week's meeting a little bit. Just an FYI, I am in conversations with Dave, the accountant, to try, I'm doing a five-year look back. On free cash,
yeah.
Ned, yeah. I'm working on that, and I'm going to talk with Dave and get, I've got some questions that I need answers to. I see some trending items that I don't know why things changed this last year, but that's a conversation for next week, and I'm hoping that I will have spoken to Dave. It may even be tomorrow that I get to talk with him. So I'm hoping that I have further info and we'll have a good conversation next Tuesday about it, about the fact that we have no free cash. I don't know how good a conversation that can be, but it'll be what it's gonna be, and we'll figure out what we need to adjust. I did mention at a couple meetings now, you know, our need to really look at how we budget, how we construct the budget. Free cash is obviously gets hit pretty hard when you budget really tight and there's no money left at the end of the year, right? And if there's no wiggle room for the unexpected expenses that come, and those take up any little tiny pockets, of which we have no pockets basically. So it really makes it so that our operating budget ends just really baseline, like nothing left there. So those excess monies don't resurface as free cash. And I think that that's hitting us a little. I did notice that we had more real estate taxes that were hanging out at the end of the fiscal year. That doubled, over the average for the last 3 years. That has since, the monies has come in, but that hit us and hurt free cash. Luckily, we cleared up a lot of those outstanding accounts that I had been talking about that had previously been hurting. Those, a lot of those have been cleaned up, thank God. So we're in the right direction, but we definitely have to establish what's missing, or what do we need, some changes we need to make to start building up our free cash again. So, but we'll talk about that Tuesday, next Tuesday. Finance Committee will be here, hopefully Elisa should be here, and we'll have continued conversation.
Okay. Robin, Sheila announced something at an MLB meeting, not today, but I guess it was last week, that CAF II distribution is expected by the end of this month.
Okay.
And it'll be roughly 58,000, which of course is a lot less than 169,000, but 169 was actually 3 years worth.
Right, I remember that, yeah, yep.
So it reminded me of how last summer, pretty soon after that, actually arrived, there was the decision to use it all for paying down the principal.
Right.
Which was a good bid on the principal. A decision will have to be made about the 50.
Right. I actually am hoping that, I think I asked Helma, and I gotta, Nancy, can you make a note to remind Helma? I'm pretty sure I asked her to reach out to Dave and invite him to our meeting once, next Tuesday with Finance Committee, once the time, actual time had been determined. It would really be good if Dave were here too. I think that he's a, would be a good part of this conversation, at least as we as a group look at the beginning of the budget season and free cash. Have him come back in and have a conversation with him too and how we make some of these decisions.
Once the time is committed.
Well, Helma, I don't, do you know what time you're coming next Tuesday to meet with us?
I think it's, I'm going to say 5 o'clock, and if it's not 5, it's 6. But
yeah, okay.
Okay.
So she was going to figure out what time,
okay,
with Finance Committee,
okay,
what time they were actually coming to the Select Board meeting to meet with us, and I don't know, because they were having their own meeting separate. So when they, whatever time that is, Dave would need to know that to see if he can come.
Right, okay.
Okay, so back to the part two. Then we have an email from Board of Health that the about the air sensors, because the air sensors have been installed. I don't know if we already reported that or not. I feel like I might be repeating things. I'm not sure. No, okay.
No, but it's on the web page.
Yeah, okay. I was gonna say, I think sometimes I say the same things, but it's out here on the wall, and there's one at in the center, right?
Sawyer.
Yeah, on Sawyer. And information, right, is on the web page for folks to look at that. So we have information about that. You've got the December town nurse report for your FYI to read. There's a letter from a resident, that's actually from Mike Smith. This is a follow-up with Tyson. This was actually a letter to Tyson at the Highway Department, just a follow-up from their meeting that they had, and it was just sent to us for our FYI. And then we have an email from Franklin County Solid Waste Management District with our December expenses, processing and recycling expenses, that's an FYI. You've got notification of a grant award that went to Mohawk Trail Regional School District about hate crime prevention. You can take a look at that. And then another one of our KP Law updates about a recent decision from the Supreme Court on, this is, MBTA communities. So that's just our FYIs for you to read. And that's what we've got.
Great.
Holy moly. What else you got, Will? Anything you'd like to talk about?
Nothing else. Good record.
I don't know what to do with myself. Okay, so we've, what's coming down the pipe? We've got Thursday is our public hearing with National Grid at 6 p.m. And next Tuesday we'll update the schedule. I'll have to talk to Helma about what actually is going to be on that schedule and the timing, but we'll change it around a little and get it out. And then I'm gone, so no meeting unless something comes up for the two of you guys the last week of January, and then we'll be back at it the first week of February, and we're scheduled for every Tuesday thereafter.
Yep.
To do the budget, we'll start meeting with, figure out what our meeting schedule will be with the Finance Committee for February and March, April, and we'll go from there. So, anything else? Did I miss anything, Nancy?
No.
I got it. Anybody? Barbara? Ned? Anything? Oh, then I can take a motion to adjourn.
I will make that motion.
And I'll second it. All in favor?
Will I?
Rob and I.